Well, it is a joy and a privilege to be with you. I'll tell you that. I don't teach all that much, to be honest with you, anymore. Number of reasons for that. One of them is time. I really feel responsible to invest the appropriate amount of time, and I don't find myself able to do that as easily anymore. But this topic of peace came up several months ago, and it was good for me just to go through it. And this isn't going to be a how-to necessarily. It's going to be a number of points, but it's not a formula. So we'll just talk about peace. You know, we've just been through the holidays here recently, and there's a lot of talk about peace. In fact, in Luke, let me read the verse for you concerning the coming of the Savior. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. His name is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests." And you know Isaiah, where the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that that's him. He is referred to as the Prince of Peace. So we look at peace, and yet we look around the world, and not so much peace. I was in Rwanda just a week ago, and I went through the genocide museum there 2 decades ago. The Hutu tribe, who has been intermingled with the Tutsis in Rwanda for centuries, they were incited to rise up against the Tutsis. And in 90 days, the Hutus slaughtered 1 million Tutsis. 1 million. And we're talking a neighbor right here, 50 yards away, comes to my home and slaughters me and my family. Whoa. Just incomprehensible to me. And as I went through that museum, and they listed other genocides throughout the world, and you know some of them, you know what has taken place in Europe, you know what took place in Nazi Germany. But there are many around the world. I mean, this happens far more frequently than we would want to admit. Haiti, today, Franklin Graham has correctly stated that Haiti is in a state of anarchy. I mean, you know, there were, 17 missionaries that were abducted, held for ransom, but they eventually escaped. But you don't hear much about the pastors that have been murdered down there, the children that have been shot, the many abductions. I was going to go back down there and work on another building, and I was told, don't do it. And I said, well, I'm willing to hire a bodyguard. And he said, don't do it. My friend down there literally goes to and from work in an armored vehicle. It's hard to comprehend. Ukraine, today, have you read the news? 130,000 Russian soldiers on the borders of Ukraine. I don't know if you've seen it. They're on three sides of Ukraine. I mean, they can come in from just about any direction. 1,200 tanks, tens of thousands of rockets and missiles and drones. And I read an article how they do it. The Russians will send a drone over a position. The drone will say exactly where they want a bomb dropped. And in 10 seconds, it's on you. It's about to happen over there. Could happen any day. But right here in our own country, come on, you could look at what has taken place with the riots in our streets in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and Portland. You probably don't know it unless you watch the local news a lot, but there were things going on in Detroit. Fortunately, we had a good chief of police who put it down pretty quickly.
That's right.
But it's all over. California, smash and grab.
Yep.
Peace? No. No. I mean, record sales of firearms in the last 2 years. And we're talking AR-15s and the big stuff. We're not talking little guns. We're talking as big as you can get. Now, peace? Peace? I don't know. I'm going to ask Tracy to read Leviticus 26, 1 through 6 for us.
Do not make idols or set up an image or a sacred stone for yourself, and do not place a carved stone in your land of olive for it. I am the Lord your God. Observe my Sabbaths and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crops and the trees their fruit. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. I will remove wild beasts from the land, and the sword will not pass through your country.
I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. Is that a promise you claim? Careful. Is that your promise? No. No. That's not for you. That's for Israel. That's for Israel. Now, I think we make a lot of mistakes in that we take passages like that out of context. If my people will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. Is that for you? No. No. I'm sorry. You got to look at the context. It's just about everything we read. And when you look at peace, people will tend to quote a lot of verses that really aren't applicable for you and I. Luke 25, verse 51. Do you think I came to bring peace on the earth? This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Do you think that I came to bring peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but division. He goes on, from now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. We know a little bit about this. I think Mike has probably brought you up to speed with Simo. Are you familiar with him in Morocco? There's a guy who made a profession of faith, living the Christian life. His dad turned him in. He spent 2 years in a Moroccan prison. I don't know if you've seen prisons abroad. They're not pretty. I was telling Mike beforehand, I had a cousin who did time in Jackson State Penitentiary. Not proud of that fact, but life is life, you know. He was a drug dealer. And I went over there one time and visited him, and I thought, whoa, I do not want... I mean, I walk down an aisle like this, and there's prisoners here and prisoners there, and I'm looking for him. I didn't even recognize him. I walk right by him. He was not allowed to make any motion to me at all. I got to the other end, and I said, I don't see my cousin. What's his name? I give him a name. Oh, there he is right there. Man, I didn't even recognize him. Bad place. In the prisons abroad, especially in the Muslim world, I tell you, they are awful, awful. I had a guy put in jail in Haiti. He stole $8,000 from me. We went through a lawyer. He had a payback process and everything. He wasn't filling his deal. So we talked to the lawyer and said, let's throw him in jail. See if he changes his mind. 2 days we put him in jail. I had to let the guy out. It is so bad. I mean, he was going to get raped. He was a young guy. He was going to get raped there. He was likely to get HIV. He could have gotten stabbed or knifed any time. In a room this size, there's probably 30 guys. And that's where you are for year after year after year. I said, no. If he can't play, let it go. I can't do that to a guy. But Simo was in prison for his faith. His father turned him in. So that's what we're looking at in this text. I mean, it's going to be, the Lord says, I'm going to cause division. I tell you no, but division. Bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. So that's what we're in for in life in many respects. Yes? Luke 12, 51-53. I like this one, John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. No, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. I do not give you peace as the world gives you peace. What does that mean? Anyone?
It's not surfacy and fleeting.
What's that?
It's not surfacy and fleeting.
Yeah. Not, yeah. Any others?
It's not based on materialism.
It's delusional. I mean, look, the examples you gave at the beginning of going on around the world, but yet people say, oh, man, it's basically good. We can have peace. No, you can't.
Yeah. Number one, it's external, right? That's what they say. It's unsustainable. Look around you. It's temporal. It's dependent upon men. And oftentimes false. Remember World War I? The war to end all wars? Are you kidding me? Who said that? It's hard to comprehend. I go back to Israel and the PLO. Do you remember the Oslo Accords? Oslo, Norway? They met together. These are two low-level officials from the Israel, upper-level officials from the PLO. They met together in Oslo, and over a period of year, I mean, long, hard, drawn-out, difficult negotiations, they came up with the basis of a peace accord. And then it was a Rabin and Yasser Arafat, Bill Clinton, met on the White House lawn to initiate this peace accord. They agreed to meet together at Camp David to put the details on it. The ink wasn't even dry. Rabin was assassinated and more bombs fell on Israel. Peace accord? Come on. Not going to happen. Why? It's all external. It's all dependent upon man. So what good is it? Not very good at all. God, he's not promised us all this external peace, but he has promised us a level of internal peace. Colossians 1, 19 and 20. Tony.
For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross.
You want real peace? That's enough. That's good. If you want real peace, it's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And man, I want to tell you, I'm a living example of that in a big way. I didn't accept the Lord until I was 23. And prior to that, I was in the military for 4 years. I was I was a communication technician on a nuke submarine out of New London, Connecticut. And I can remember standing topside. There's two watches when you're in port. There's a below decks watch, and he walks around making sure that nobody's messing with anything they ought not to mess with. Then there's a guy on the topside, and he's got a .45, and he's standing there so that nobody comes aboard. You don't let any vessels near the boat. You don't let anybody come over the plank. You're there to make sure that nobody comes on board this submarine or does any damage to it. And I'm standing in the guard shack, and this shipmate of mine, Berselli was his name, he walks by and he puts his hand inside the guard shack and he slaps me. What? I got a .45 on my hip, and I'm thinking about, should I unholster this .45? Fortunately for me, I did not unholster the .45. But I came out of that dog shack like a pit bull, man. You don't do that. And I was on him like white on rice, big time, fast. There was only one problem. Berselli was a huge guy. He was 200 pounds and he was solid muscle. He's a monster of a guy. And I'm a 150-pound wimp, you know. I'm a mongoose. But I don't have the size. And so I got one goal in life. I can't shoot this guy because that won't work out well for Dave Minor. But I want to throw that rascal into the Thames River. And I went after him, and I'm all over him. It was all I could do trying to wrestle him, throw him over the side. I don't know if you've ever seen a submarine. They're a round top. You only got 4 feet, man. And once you get down beyond that, you're in the water. I only got to move him 2 feet. It was like wrestling a fire hydrant. I was doing all the dancing and he was just standing there, you know, he was just solid. Fortunate for me, someone came along and broke it up and we both got reprimanded and we went on with life. But that was sort of characteristic of Dave Minor. You don't do that, you know? I mean, you ought not to do that today. I would hope I would respond a little bit more positively. But at that point, I tell you, I was madder than a horn and I was going to take this guy into the drink with me. Didn't matter if I got wet, he's going in with me. No, neither one of us got wet. Now, fast forward just a couple of years. I was out of the military, had a good job, driving my Corvette, had my apartment, and my brother came over one day and said, "What do you think about the Bible?" I said, "What? Where are you? What have you been smoking or drinking or whatever?" That, because Al and I were close, it was 5 years difference, but he was on a submarine, I was on a submarine. We had the same warped sense of humor, a lot of things in common. Out of respect for him, I said, "I don't know, let's read it." So we started reading it. And every Friday night, we'd get together and we would read this Bible. And then a couple more people. And suddenly you got four, five, six people. They're all pagans. They don't know what they're reading, but they're reading. And had a guy, actually a guy from Bob Jones University named Richard Hornig. He was in a Baptist church in Mount Clemens. My brother stopped in there, invited this guy to the study. And I thought, wow, we got a guy that's got a four-year degree on Bible. Surely he's going to illuminate us. He came to that study and he just sat there the whole night. He just sat there, had almost nothing to say except for at the very end. He said, I just want you to know one thing. You guys are never going to understand this scripture until you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And he quoted Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. Every Catholic needs to hear that verse. Not of works, lest any man should boast.
Wow, that's amazing.
And I said, wow, that's it. Now, I didn't say hallelujah. I didn't do anything. I just sat there. But I knew that was the answer. I went home that night. I prayed. And I accepted Christ. And that peace that passes understanding, that this peace that we're talking about here, making peace through his blood, I had a peace through his blood. That's the first time I ever had peace in my life. And it was peace for eternity. So, do you want peace in your life? I mean, I don't know all of you here all that well, but I'll tell you this. It starts with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because you need to have peace with God before you can have any other peace in your life. That's the way it was with me, and that's the way with everyone who is part of the kingdom of God. You have to be at peace with God. So, first and foremost, a relationship with Jesus Christ. Second is the Word of God. I love Psalm 119 when it comes to this. Psalm 119:165 says it well. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. If you read this whole chat, this whole psalm from beginning to end, you would do well to highlight or underline a whole bunch of words. Words like, because it all means the word. They're all synonyms. You'll see the word law or laws. Underline it. Commandment or commandments. Underline it. Precepts, ordinances, statutes, testimonies, judgments, truth, word. It goes on and on and on and on. You do that in that psalm, you'll be amazed. The whole thing will be highlighted practically. I mean, it's just all over the place because it's the Word of God working in and through our lives. I mean, if you are stumbling in life, if you're having troubles in life, spend time in the Word of God. It's still today in my life. I get kind of tied up in knots and I get discontented and lots of different things going on in my life. Know what I need to do? I need to sit down and spend some time in the Word of God and with the Lord.
Amen.
The Word of God, that is a source of peace that we, you know, and it sits on our table or next to our easy chair all the time, and we don't spend enough time in it. It's the Word of God. It's not a crystal ball, but it's the words of life. It's the words of peace. There's a professor at Master Seminary, Robert Somerville. He wrote a book on depression. And I bought the book because there was a couple of chapters that I was very interested in. And Mr. Somerville was in a deep depression for a year. Now, mind you, he's the head of the counseling department at Master Seminary. All that to say, don't be too hard on people that fall into depression. There's a lot of factors that go into this. It's not just any one thing. It's better understood if you know people that have gone through it. This dear brother went through a deep depression. And he attributed one thing to pulling him out of that depression. He said it was the Word of God. I had to start spending more and more time in the Word of God. My wife and I would have devotions, and she would be speaking into my life from the Word of God. I would have co-workers who were speaking into my life with the Word of God. I would read it. I would preach it. I would just consume it audibly any way I could. It was the Word of God. And that's what he attributes to getting him out of his depression. So it's the Word of God. That's where it's at. I know for myself, and my wife and I have talked about this. I don't know if you guys talk about death, your own death, your own demise. Good. I think it's a good thing. My wife and I talk about it, and we know there's one thing. If my wife is in the hospital and she's dying of cancer, do you know what she wants? She wants me to read the Word of God. She wants me to sing the Word of God. She wants me to sing hymns because it's the Word of God. And I want the same thing. And you can do that for me. You know, if I get in a car accident on the way home today and I'm in the hospital, come. Read the Word of God. Read me a couple chapters. Read me a whole book if you want. But that's what we really need. Tracy?
You know, what's interesting is when you're in those situations and you go and visit somebody and what have you, you just don't even know what to say. What a beautiful out. Sorry to use that term.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, just read God's Word.
Yeah, absolutely.
You just pull it open and read it.
Yeah, Mike?
In my first marriage, my wife had stage 4 Hodgkin's. And so I would visit her when she was in Henry Ford downtown, and I would literally sit there out loud and read the Psalms. And there was a 90-something-year-old Jewish lady on the other side of the curtain in a bed, and she's like, can you come over here and do that?
That's wow.
Beautiful. And I went over there, and she was Jewish, but she was Catholic. And I ended up sharing the gospel with her, and she prayed and received Christ.
Wow.
Awesome. But just reading the Word out loud.
My son is a chaplain for a healthcare organization now. They actually pay him to go in and read the scriptures and to counsel with people and all different faiths and everything. And yeah, it's the Word of God. I mean, it's effective.
I don't find, I live in a senior apartment, and I am drive people to visit people in the hospital at least once or twice a week. And they're not always receptive to all of that, but I at least ask them, when you get to the gates of heaven, who are you going to ask for when you ring the bell? Can you at least know to ask for Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Will you at least say Jesus' name? And I don't know, I have no religious training in that, but I just think that that's enough if they would just say Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
For the, at that moment, mm-hmm. they can't even speak anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and I think each one of us are a little bit different in what we'd want to hear. I think the Psalms are a great thing. I love action books in the Bible. I like the book of Joshua. You get out there and do something. I like the book of Acts. Read me the book of Acts. That's what I want to hear. I like theology, but theology that just sits there and does nothing is worthless to me. I want some theology that's going to take some action. So I like those action books. I'll probably rise up out of my bed if you start reading the book of Acts. For me, when I'm sick, I need that, you know. It's the Word of God. But the Psalms, word of comfort, it's the Word of God. Another area is correct actions and correct thinking. Anna, you want to read that passage from Philippians 4, 1 through 9? This is a long passage, but I think all of it is important.
Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Eudora and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you.
There's a lot there. A lot of actions and a lot of attitude thinking. Now, I don't know what the problem with these two ladies were, and I'm really glad we don't know. Because people just plain don't get along sometimes. And I think they're a good example of two ladies who served God right alongside Paul, but they could not get along. And I don't know what it was. Sometimes it doesn't have to be anything huge. It might be one thinks they ought to serve chocolate cake and the other one pie. I don't know what their problem was, but they could not get along. Now, I know I have the same inclination. You have that too. Come on, you can admit it. It's all right. There are some times, there are some people, if you're an introvert, it's hard for you to be around an extrovert. And if you're an extrovert, it's really hard to be around an introvert. And why does that person dress that way? Or why do they think that? Why do they say this? Why can't they get on board with it here? None of it's right or wrong. It's just different. And these poor women, they were very different and they couldn't get along. And I want to say, it would be easy here to jump on the ladies. Oh, yeah, you ladies. I want to tell you something. I've been in a lot of men's meetings. And I've been parts of a lot of committees and teams and so forth. And there's some people I say, oh, no, Lord, do I have to? Do I have to serve with that person? They're so different from me. Yeah, because I'm so different, you know. So, yeah, we have to sometimes just correct our thinking as well as our action. And that's where... that's where these ladies were at. And we've seen it here. I mean, COVID-19, mask or no mask. Ivermectin, no ivermectin. Monoclonal antibodies, none. I mean, you can go back and forth. I know some of you are very set in your thinking on those things. What is right? And you could say, oh, there's science. There's science on both sides of it. But You can't allow that to divide. You need to correct your thinking. Accept one another in that way. And the same thing goes politically. I mean, geez, I've got kids that don't think like I think when it comes politically. I want to tell you that. I look at socialism and I say, man, socialism, communism is just socialism with a gun to your head. Why would you think socialism is a good idea? They do sometimes, some areas. I'm not a socialist. I'm a free enterprise guy. But that's not to say that democracies and the way that we do things here in the United States of America is right for everybody. In fact, what's right for me might not be right for you, and we're seeing that more and more in our country all the time. But go abroad. I've been in Rwanda. I want to tell you, that dictator in Rwanda, Kigali, is it Kigali? Kigali's a city. What's the president's name? I can't remember it. He's a benevolent dictator. He seems to be a pretty good guy, but guess what? You probably all heard of Hotel Rwanda. Have you heard of that? Yeah, he saved, that guy operated a hotel. He saved a lot of people during that genocide. He made the fatal mistake of running for president against the current president. You know where that guy is today? He's in prison, convicted of terrorism. So I look at that country and I say, yeah, country looks pretty good, but don't go against that guy. To be honest with you right now, I think he's the right man for the show in Rwanda. Wouldn't work here, but it's working over there. I personally do not think that democracy is the only form of government that God can use for free people. The gospel is going out in Rwanda like gangbusters. This guy is allowing it all to take place. So all that to say, We are different sometimes, and that's okay. I mean, we need to make a covenant with ourselves to spend more time in the Word of God and less time cogitating and worrying about all these different things. It's COVID, and there's politics, and there's this, and there's that. I mean, those are all differences that are not good for us. So we need to correct our thinking and correct our actions. Another one, abiding in Christ. 1 John 2:28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. What does it mean to abide? Anyone have a definition? Anyone have an illustration? I love the fish illustration. Fish abide in the water. They need that water. They need that water to move about. They need it to get nutrients. They need it to get oxygen. Their whole being, just take them out of the water just for a little bit, and they're all done. They're all done. That needs to be us in Christ. Our whole being needs to be dependent upon Christ, and we need to live that every moment of every day. He is my life, my breath, my very being. Abiding with him, we can have that peace that passes understanding. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you'll have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. See, again, there's that world and the heart. There's the external, there's the internal. You're not going to have peace externally. I'm sorry. It's just not going to be there. You're going to have seasons of it, but it's the world. They're not our friend. It's not our home. This is all temporal. But internal peace, you can have it. Right relationship with Christ and all of the above. Time is short, but here's one more anyway. Living for others. Let me read Romans 14:14-20, another long passage. As one who is in the Lord, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself, but if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. Make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Living for other people. I tell you that for me, there's a joy and there's a peace when I'm serving other people as I serve my God. I actually love some of the ministries that I've been involved with. There's just a peace about serving your God the way He guides and directs you to do so. And I've been in some crazy situations. I've been in life-threatening situations. I've had people laugh at me because I was so afraid of what was going on, but I just kept on going. I often tell the story about Vince Canino. We are in Haiti at night going down this two-track road that is known for abductions and murders. Vince is laughing at me. I'm getting nervous. Vince, this road is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And we aren't even supposed to be out here at night. And I haven't a clue where I'm at right now. I was getting very nervous. But I had to calm myself down, get it all together, and say, wait a minute. I'm here because the Lord is in this whole thing. Calm down. I spent many nights alone in Haiti in a rat cockroach-infested house, surrounded by people that were not happy. I don't know what was going on out there. I slept with a club. I had a shovel handle. I'm ready for a man. What good's that going to do? There's a mob out there, you know? And I just had to calm myself down. What am I doing here? I'm here serving the Lord. It's time to go to sleep. Lord, give me peace of mind. Just let me go to sleep. And I went to sleep. The thing is, no matter where we are at, no matter what we're doing, if we're living for the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're investing our lives in other people, there's a great peace about doing all of that. I love missions because it's seeing people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's building up the body of Christ. And I've done a lot of building programs. I just finished a really cool building, managing a building in Rwanda. It seats 500 people. It costs $70,000. I had a great time managing that project. And I was only over there maybe five weeks total managing that project. Man, that was just plain fun. And the peace of God just rules and it guides. So I say that to say, living for other people, there's a real peace. There's a real joy in doing that. Peace forever. This is Revelation, another lengthy passage. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I like that verse. A friend of mine used to say, Dave, no matter what went wrong in his life, if he had a car wreck, loss of money, whatever went on, Bob would say, that's all going to burn. Yeah, you're right. At the end of the age, it's all going to burn. Doesn't really matter. Passage goes on. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from the eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write all these things, for the words are true and faithful. You will have peace internal and external when the king is on the throne. When we dwell in eternity with him and this whole earth is folded up like a napkin and thrown away. It's like a Dixie cup. Throw it away. It's all done. So I'm sorry if you're a Greenpeace person and you think we need to preserve the planet. It's all going to go one day. Back to one of the very first verses. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Yeah. Peace on earth to men on whom his favor. Who has the favor of God resting upon him? Those who are in right relationship with him, those who are spending time in the Word of God with him, those who are taking correct actions and correct thinking, abiding in Christ, living for other people. You want peace? That's not a formula, but those are 5 points in gaining peace in life. And that's kind of where I'm at. I desire that peace in life. And I generally live a peaceful life. And I practice those things in my life. The most important thing is, for me personally, settling myself down, spending time in the Word of God, and enjoying a relationship with the Lord. My wife of late is spending more, she spends a ton of time in the Word. And she is having a blast. She's having fun. You know, when you're raising kids and you're working and all the things that are going on, I mean, life can get really busy. Life is not that busy for us anymore. She's got a couple different Bible studies with Lady. She makes meals for people. She feeds me well, takes good care of me. I mean, she is really enjoying life. She's got a peace about her. She's doing all of those things. I'm grateful for the life that God has given me because life is peaceable for us together. And a lot of it is on her because she's enjoying a life of peace and she's enjoying her relationship with the Lord and investing in other people. So I'd encourage you to do the same. Again, it's not a special formula, just lots of principles. We could probably bring out 10, 15, 20 more principles that could help you in life. With regard to having peace. But I think these are the primary ones. I think this is a really good place to start. Any other thoughts or questions before we close it? Yeah.
One thing, you know, in the comments that you make concerning peace, and they are true. If you have sin in your life, if even though you're following God, you're in the Word, but you have sin where you're stumbling with, and that sin, unrepented, that sin would take away that peace, even though you're in fellowship with the Word, but because of that sin, you lose that peace.
Absolutely.
And that's
what's the solution?
And even if it's behind closed, whatever that sin might be, it needs to be resolved in order for you to have that peace.
You need to repent.
Yes. That,
that's what I need to do. When I know something is wrong, if I don't see it in the Word, and the Lord, and I don't listen to that, or the Lord talks to me, I don't hear it from him, and someone else might have to come to me. But when I need to deal with it, I know that I cannot have peace with God until I repent of that sin.
Yes.
Then I'm restored. And we're all in the same soup here. Every one of you are sinners. You all know you're sinners. You all sin every single day of your life. Are you aware of that? And you need to repent of that sin every single day of your life. I do. You do. So you want to put God on the shelf and you don't want that peace of God, just go ahead and live your life the way you want to live it. But if you want to live for the Lord, if you want a peace, you have to be dealing with sin. And that's a daily thing.
Yes. That's it.
Yes. Yeah, back in 2003, when my mom was dying, they put her in hospice. She lasted 22 days. Before she went into a coma, I kept asking her. And she kept telling me, quit asking me. I believe in God. Yes, I'm saved. Don't ask me anymore. So when she went into a coma, I would pray over her. Well, one day, a couple come in, and they lay a Gideon Bible next to her bed. So I said, well, I'm going to start reading. She may not hear it because they say that they can hear, you know, if they're in a coma. So I started reading. Well, I knew she was at peace and contentment. But by me reading to her, God gave me peace and contentment because I was given the word, you know. And that was a good strength, you know, at that time. 22 days I read the Bible.
That's awesome.
She finally died. But it was amazing how God worked by bringing that couple into the room and laying a Bible next, you know. And I said, like, you know, why don't you read it? She may not hear it, but, you know, it'll
help
you too. And you talk about peace.
Yeah, good for you.
That was a...
And you got more peace out of it than she did, probably, huh?
Yeah. And, you know, once she took her last breath, which we saw, there was, like, such a peace in that room, like, you felt like God was right in that room with her.
Yeah. This is anecdotal. You talk about your mother. My mother passed away on her deathbed. I'd shared the gospel with her. And I didn't share the gospel. I asked her if she was confident of her standing before God. And she gave me the gospel crystal clear. And then she said, and I want you to do this at my funeral. I want you to conduct it. And I want you to tell everybody there, I'm not a Catholic. I'm a Christian. And I thought, wow, that's incredible. I wasn't even confident of her salvation. And now she tells me she's a believer and she wants the whole world to know that she's not a Catholic.
That's awesome.
And guess what? I had a real peace about it. I stood before several hundred Catholic at this, and I preached from Amazing Grace. Every Catholic knows that hymn. It's a great hymn to preach the gospel from. And I just told them all, I just want you all to know that my mother was a Christian and she at her death, she told me that she was not a Catholic. And I've got 9 brothers and sisters I had to convince of that too, and they weren't all believers. But yeah, gave me the joy to be able to do that. And boy, talk about a peace at the end for a parent. I sure had it because of the testimony that she had as well. Well, with that, it's a little bit after 10. We better close. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father God, thank you, Lord, that you are the source of our peace. Lord, you have worked in our lives in just miraculous ways to draw us to yourself. And we've all got a different story because we are all unique and you have worked in unique ways in our lives to draw us to yourself. And we just praise you that we can have that peace with God because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can lose it as we sin. We can lose it as we allow life to just to crush us with all of the philosophies and all the things that go on. But Lord, we need to come back to you and your word. We need to dwell there to regain our footing. We need to deal with sin. We need to live for other people. We need to correct our thinking and our actions. Father God, guide us in doing that. Again, we know how vulnerable we are. We know how difficult it is for us at times to just put it all aside and to draw back to you. Lord, guide us to abide in you the way that we need to. And we'll give you the praise, Father, for it. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Contentment in 2 weeks.